Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
We've kind of wrapped up our study on character transformation. And I thought before we go into our next little study on forgiveness that we'd pause for a moment and take a look at a couple of things that Paul says about us. That my hope is we find encouragement and inspiration from. Because I think sometimes when we land at Lenawee County Mission, we can beat ourselves up pretty good because we tend to see ourselves strictly through the lens of failure. And there seems to be this oxymoron, so to speak, right, with Paul, that somehow that weakness, that fault, that failure is actually a blessing in disguise. And my hope then is that we can discover that blessing, remove the disguise, and be empowered to move forward in a journey of faithfulness on what God's called us to be. Does that make sense? So, before we went on the air then, I had you read from Paul's first letter to the people of Corinth, coming out of chapter 1 after his little salutation, verses 18 through, what was the last one there? 31? 18 through 31. So let's just go around the room, and why don't you share with our listening audience maybe what jumped out of that little pericope about Paul speaking on the power and the wisdom of God. Who would like to be first? That's right. Don't all jump up at once.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I guess what stuck out for me was just this message of the cross, is the power of God. And you kind of spoke about the love. Is that correct? His love for us. That love overcame death. And you know, it's kind of foolish to walk around and kind of claim that. Like, people look at you, they don't understand that. Like, really? You believe in that? Or, you know, like, that's what you're going to put your faith in, your hope on? And, you know, for people that haven't encountered that or, like, experienced God, like, they just don't know. But, like, to us who have actually encountered and experienced that, like, that's, we know. Like, we have, like, no doubt. And it's very powerful. So, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, right after that, you know, where it talks about God will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning and all that kind of stuff, means what we would understand today is kind of like the conventional wisdom. Right? I mean, when we start clinging to the wisdom of God as revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that may go head to head with conventional wisdom. Something as simple as when we were studying about some of the practices, and we're talking about worship, and you know, we go to church. Sometimes conventional wisdom says, you know, don't put that money in the plate. You know, you've got a gas bill to pay. Right? And yet, a discerning spirit of the wisdom of God may say, you know, I'll take care of the gas bill. Right? It's a pretty crude example. Right? Money, sometimes, right, we use a conventional wisdom with. Right? In the life of Jesus, we don't necessarily see that. Right? So it has practical implications for how we function in the world. There are a lot of voices out there that speak all kinds of wisdom to us. And here, hopefully, we're learning to discern the one true voice. Right? that provide, you know, we would say is the truth, the way and the life. And so Paul recognized this in the mystery of the cross, right? That power of God is fully expressed. And it refutes, it spins around, throws on its head all conventional wisdom. Now, obviously, Paul's not going to say we need to be flippant about our discernment. We should still be very discerning, but what is central in our discernment is that event. But yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? What jumped out at you? Ivan?
I think sometimes we ask for like a sign and see where like the wisdom's at. Or his wisdom for us. And that's what I got so far from this, like. Verse 22 says, "For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom." Sometimes we ask for a sign and ask them, you know, where's your wisdom, or, you know, where are you at for us?
Yeah, interesting. It almost parallels today, if you ask me. I mean, we've all been around long enough to realize that probably in the past 10 years or so, I mean, how many people have said the end is coming? The signs are, well, right? We're sign watchers. We may be just like the ancient Jews in that regard. We're looking for signs. Right? I'm not so sure the Jews were looking for the same signs we claim to be looking for. But, you know, if you're sign watchers, you may be missing the actual activity and engagement of God going on in your present moment. Right? Our discernment may be faulty. Kind of like the Greeks, we live in a postmodern world where education, right, is paramount. We really emphasize education as far as the pursuit of knowledge. Right? So much so, I mean, you know, that's Google. You can get all kinds of things from Google. You can self-educate. And that's not to say that those are bad things. But if that becomes our focus, Ivan, you know, whether it be if we're just sitting around looking for signs or if we're just sitting around Googling everything, we may be participating in the way of the world, right? As opposed to what God's called us to do. Anybody else?
Yeah, for me, I don't know how to exactly put it, but I had to change all my thoughts, the way I perceived, the way I did things. I had to break all my old habits, because what I was seeing wasn't real, not the real way of God. It's how I perceived it, how the world perceived a lot of it. And I've learned in here that it's better to be very humble and ask him for help. And he brings people like me here and tries to pick us back up, put us back together, and it works. Now that I've broken my conventional thinking of what God was, how he works, I can put my blind faith into him now, and I'm getting back out of it. It's a whole different teaching today. It's him living in me that's what's doing it. And that's really cool for me, that feeling that I know, I don't know all the answers, but that he'll give me the answers I need when I need them, put things in my life when I need them, take things out of my life when I need them that are unhealthy for me too. So sometimes it's just trial and that, but it's coming to a new peace. You know that I'm loved totally by him. That when I make mistakes, it isn't a bad, big deal. You know, I learn from them. I grow from them. I can share that with others and help them. It's been a blessing for me.
Well, thanks, Jeff. That's kind of a nice little segue into the focus I would like to narrow this down to. Begins at verse 26. Consider your own call. You know, God's call on your life, Jeff, Josh, Ivan, Russell, John, Tim, Nate, Steve, Sam, Harry. Consider your own call. Brothers and sisters, not many of you were wise by human standards. Maybe we didn't finish high school. Maybe we didn't go to college. Maybe we don't have one of those academic degrees of some sort. So by the world standards, we're not really wise. Maybe we're only in our 20s, and so some would say, well, young man, you don't have enough life experience. Not many of you were powerful, so we didn't come from prestigious job positions. We didn't amass a lot of wealth. These type of things. Now, many of you were of noble birth. Well, last I knew, I was not born the son of the President of the United States, the governor, or the mayor, or anybody else. Noble birth, right? We don't have prestige about us. But God chose what is foolish in the world, right? Antithetically, you know, juxtaposed to what is presumed in conventional wisdom to be the wise, those who have an education, those who have power and prestige. That's not where God started. It's interesting, I think, that we, even when we look at the life of the church and we think that sometimes the church is really about getting out there and recruiting, converting, drawing people to Jesus, but it almost seems to be a top-down type thing. And when I look at the life of Jesus, when the kingdom was being built, the people that he's calling, it was about bubbling up from the bottom. And I think Paul is echoing that. Right? It's not those who already have it together. It's a bubble-up movement. So we're going to start at the bottom. The uneducated. Right? The unwealthy. The powerless. Well, gentlemen, does that sound like you?
Oh, yeah.
And Paul says, God called you. God chose you. It goes on what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Now, that's consistent with what Paul would write a couple chapters over in chapter 12, where he would say that the weak in our midst are the most indispensable part of the body of Christ. Gentlemen, if you can identify yourself as being chosen by God, right, as weak, you are also chosen by God because you are indispensable. How so? What do you think?
Well, my goal is to become truly human. And that's to carry a message to other people, to help one another, bring the kingdom here to earth in everything I do. It helps me. It gives me something to go on. It gives me energy to carry that message today, to help another person. To do what is right, and I'm still learning by every means, and I hope to be learning. I hope to remain teachable till the day I die. It's just going out there, and it gives me a warm glow inside when I am helping other people, working with the mission, seeing the people like me that are broken down and don't know about God, and they're not wealthy. They're in the same calling as I come from. And the meek shall inherit the earth, they say, so it's kind of me anymore.
Okay, I think you're kind of dancing around where I'm going, but you're really close there. Any other thoughts?
Gives people an opportunity.
duty to do Jesus.
To do Jesus. You want to expound on that for our listening audience?
You're weak or you're poor or you're hungry, naked, broken down inside. Give somebody else the opportunity to practice what they believe, the way that Jesus lived, what he did for those people.
So if we see in the life of Jesus that he's advancing this kingdom from the bottom up, you know, it's bubbling up. Beverly Hillbillies or something? It's bubbling up from the bottom. And where's he hanging out? You know, he's not in the palace. You know, he's not hanging out, in a sense, with the wealthy merchants and things like that. This message of bubbling up from the bottom is attractive to people of that arena of life, but that's not necessarily the starting point. It's not a trickle-down kingdom economics. That's not what it is. Right? And so if we're going to do Jesus, then we need to do what he did, say what he said, you know, like what he did. So you would think when Paul talks in chapter 12 of Corinthians about the body of Christ and its various parts, and that the weak are the most indispensable, they provide us the opportunity, right, to do the Jesus thing. That's consistent with what Jesus said in Matthew 25. I'll know who you really are because you'll feed the sick, you'll clothe the naked, a cup of cold water to the thirsty, all those type of things, because when you do that, you're doing it to me. So somehow in the week is Jesus. And last I knew, for the body of Christ, Jesus is indispensable. You can't be the body of Christ. You can't have the wisdom of God without Jesus. And so then God's called you to this little blue house on Broad Street, right? To be just that. To be just that, right? And we are that when people come to us and they're hungry. And so through Fish's Loaves Food Pantry, we are reaching out and feeding them, because that's Jesus walking through the door. When they are homeless and they come walking through the Broad Street facility, and we give them shelter, and we feed them, and we shower, and we give them laundry and clothes and all those type of things, we're doing the Jesus thing. Paul would go on to say that without them, there is no church. Right? Because there's no opportunity to do the Jesus thing. Right? They're indispensable. Right? And so the body of Christ, the church, ought to be about making visible Jesus as food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, you know, water to the thirsty, justice to those experiencing oppression, etc., etc. So how do you feel, real quickly, as we wrap this up, about being called to that endeavor?
It's like being the head servant, just as he was to the apostles, and that's what I'm called to do today, be a servant to the people of what he's given me. I can give back, heaven knows, with the stores and that we have, there I can participate in that and be working in that kingdom today, be part of the body of Christ. And it's working with all the gentlemen here in the Blue House. We are part of the body. And it's in moving. It's moving along. That's good to see.
Yeah, the body of Christ needs to be organic. It needs to be alive, and it needs to grow.
I would say empowered and worthy, you know, in a world that, you know, looks at you through, like, status and, like, where you're at. Like, God says, I chose you, I called you, I can use you, you know what I mean? And for me, that's huge. For somebody who had low self-esteem, thought very little of themselves, like, God is like, I can use you, I have a plan for you, like, I love you, and let's do this. And we encounter him here through the people, you know, through you guys, Tim and all that, you know, and then we get to kind of pass that on almost to Jesus, so to speak, and, you know, and be and do that Jesus thing, you know, because we've encountered the Jesus, the living Christ.
And we can do that without words.
Action.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019. Until next week, may God's grace and peace be yours.